Welcome to Girl, You're Hired, a job interviewing tips podcast solely dedicated to helping you land your dream job. On today's episode, I have such an exciting guest to bring on. Her name is Marjorie Calamaris, and I worked with her at LinkedIn. And since then, she's gone on to work at HubSpot. She's also worked at Optimizing Diversity Hiring. She's a writer for Fairy Godboss, and she started her own consultancy, MK Career Coaching, where she helps other individuals land their dream job by coaching them through the interviewing process. So without further ado, I'm going to let Marjorie introduce herself.
Great. Well, thanks so much for having me, Lena. I'm Marjorie. I'm a senior recruiter at HubSpot and a career coach. And I've spent 9 years in recruiting places like LinkedIn, startups like Optimizely, and built a career coaching business in 2020. It was really born out of seeing, you know, so many people, especially an overwhelmingly majority of those being women, lose their jobs here in the US and around the world. And I'm passionate about interviewing, helping my clients get jobs they love and helping them get paid really well as well. So salary negotiation prep also, but I love all things recruiting.
Amazing. And you are so good at what you do. And we're so excited to bring you on today. And we have so many questions. And having us even just met at LinkedIn, that's kind of around my first question for you is, what role does LinkedIn play today in your job as a recruiter?
Ooh, great one. So, I mean, as a recruiter, I live on LinkedIn. I'm on there all day, every day. And it's one of the main ways how recruiters find candidates and find people we want to hire. So there is a LinkedIn enterprise version called LinkedIn Recruiter that has a really robust search that most recruiters, especially if you're at an established tech company, will use to search keywords and profiles of people that don't even know that we're searching for them. So this is why I really am a huge advocate for LinkedIn and for keeping your profile up to date, because we are on there all day, every day, searching for great people to join our companies.
Tell me a little bit more about some of the features and settings that you use to find people, because we'd love to maybe reverse engineer that and see, like, what can we do on our profile for if you're a person wanting really to find a job and for recruiters to find you, like, what can they be doing and what kind of things on your profile will help you get found?
Yeah. So first off, the number one thing that will help you get found is to have really strong keywords in your profile. And what that means is just having as many relevant keywords as you can think of, really, in your summary, in your about section, and lower down in your experience sections as well. So, and I think a lot of people, you know, kind of assume LinkedIn is your online resume, but it's really, I'd like to think of it more as a blank canvas. It's there for you to tell your story, how you got into what you're doing today, why you like it, why you continue to do it. But the number one thing that will help you get found is packing as many keywords in there that are still relevant to your experience as possible, because you never know if a recruiter is using a specific term to search for these great candidates or something slightly different, something that's related to it. So if you think of, you know, user experience, for instance, it could be user experience, UX, UI, you know, user experience research, UX design, whatever it is that your specific area is, don't be afraid to put some extra keywords in there to define it.
Great tips. Thanks so much for the examples. And what about your title? Like, I've seen people with really creative titles on LinkedIn, like Chief Idea Officer, and many titles like that. Will that prevent you from showing up on recruiters' like search tools?
Yeah, I would keep your title as relevant as possible and as universal as possible. I know some companies use really creative titles, but it can be confusing to recruiters. What do you actually do? You know, if you have a creative title, that's what your company uses, that's fine. You can still use that. But I would define even more clearly then below that in your experience section, in your about section. And you can also use your headline. That's the area right under your profile picture. The headline and your profile picture are what a recruiter sees before they decide whether or not they want to click on your profile and see the rest of the detail. So that's a really good area to maybe, you know, just elaborate on what it is you do. Or some people like to put like the overarching department, or, you know, just keep it a little more generic in their headline, and then they use their specific title down below.
Absolutely. Love that tip. And if you're finding a job, let's say on LinkedIn, and there's like that little cool small image, and it shows you who the recruiter is for it, because that person created that job position on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think that person could be, or should be, or should not be doing? Is it appropriate to also send an email to the recruiter? Like, what can you do with that information once you see on LinkedIn who the recruiter is?
Yes, that is a really great question, because that is something I work with my clients on, actually, is if you can find that person who posted it, I would absolutely, don't be afraid to send the recruiter a message expressing your interest for the position. And I recommend doing this even before you apply. And that's just because I look through every single application on my roles, but it can take a while to get back to folks. And it's just messaging the recruiter shows, you know, a little more initiative, a little more interest in this position specifically. So I think if you send them a nice, short, respectful note around why you're interested in the specific company and the specific role, you know, attach your resume, CV, it's never going to hurt, if as long as it's, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm interested. Give that a shot before you go ahead and apply. It might make you stand out a bit more.
I love that. That's such good advice. And I really feel like that's going to give new confidence to people, because even I myself, like I never am sure how recruiters feel about that. So it's good to hear that those messages are welcome with open arms. So thank you so much. And when it comes to the process of, you know, trying to land that interview, that's LinkedIn, but putting that aside within the resume itself, like what are some ways that you as a recruiter can advise people and women out there to stand out on that resume? Because really it's just one piece of paper, and people say it's a computer that's going to read it. Not sure if that's true anymore. Would love for you to address that. And really just what can you do to stand out? And tell us about that.
Yeah. So for resumes, CVs, I personally, and every recruiter I know, we all read every single resume that comes across our desks. So it is human eyes on there. And I think the most important thing to remember is that we really, like you mentioned, only have a few seconds with each resume before we make a decision. And it's just because of the volume, right, of applications. And the biggest things I see that really make candidates stand out to me are clarity. You know, just making sure you have a clear resume. I understand at a moment's glance where you worked, how long you were there for, your titles. I see a lot of really fancy formatting these days, and I urge people to keep it as simple as possible and make sure that your experience really speaks for itself and shines. And the second thing I would recommend is being as results oriented as you can. So in your bullet points below your experience, being very clear on what you accomplished or what you helped accomplish as part of a larger team, how can you quantify that? And making sure that it's within the first line, it's not lost in a jumble of text.
Wow, that's a really, really good point. So like, say I'm a marketing writer, but the impact I've made is I publish over 30 articles that I've gotten over 20,000 reads, let's just say. Like, do you think I should first, like, for instance, would I be describing what my day-to-day is? Or like, first, what's the impact of my writing role?
Yeah. So for that example, I think it's a great one. Make sure it's very clear that you're a marketing writer up top, right? Whether that's in your title or the first bullet point. And then I would have within bullet point one or two, like that soon, really the impact of what you've done, what you've added to the team, your, you know, proudest accomplishments. It can be something that was, you know, a piece of feedback given to you in a performance review even, but as quantifying as much as possible as early on is really going to help the recruiter see what you've done and see the impact that you've had sooner rather than later.
Cool. I love that. Such good advice. And what about adding a picture to your resume? I know that's kind of been floating around with the more modern templates, but what does a recruiter think when they see someone's headshot on the resume? Not talking about LinkedIn.
Yeah, because of course for LinkedIn, it's so important to have your profile photo on there. Just makes people so much more likely to click on you. I would say for resumes, I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other. I think clarity is most important within the format. I think, you know, photos, it's not like we're going based on photos. I pretty much scroll past the photo and go to experience. But of course, it's whatever makes you feel comfortable. It's your personal brand. So if you feel strongly that you want to have a headshot on there, go for it. But I really don't think it's necessary. And I would rather have, you know, a candidate coming to me with experience rather than a big photo, right? That's kind of distracting. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't knock them for it either. I'd say it's your personal preference.
That really makes sense to me. And my other question for you is, once they've been that lucky person that stood out on their LinkedIn or their resume, and now you're proceeding to schedule that interview and you have that first call with them. And that's usually where, you know, candidates get so excited or like, great, I have the call with a recruiter. And if that goes well, then the hiring manager, and like, you just feel like one step closer. And maybe often that call is what they're most nervous about, right? All their eggs are in one basket for that big next call. So what do you think candidates can do to really shine in a recruiter interview, which would be with you in this case, that you are often running on your side?
Yeah. So the main things I want to see are that the candidate is coming to me very specifically interested in the company, not just in working in tech, not just at working at a large tech company or mid-sized tech company, whatever it may be. I want to see that they're interested in HubSpot specifically. I want to see that they're interested in this specific role as well. A lot of people don't read as much into the specific role. They just see a team that they would like to be on. And it's, you can tell like their job search might not be as focused. And clarity and focus to me as a recruiter is really important. Like motivation in a job search is what I want to learn. So I want to know kind of, why are we on the phone today? What made you want to get on the phone? What are you hoping for in your career? How do you see HubSpot as fitting into those plans for yourself? And what are you hoping to learn in this next stage of your career? So of course we get into some more specific functional questions about the role itself and your background and all of that. But those are the things I would recommend preparing. If nothing else, make sure you have really solid, focused answers for those questions.
Great advice. And if the recruiter, maybe you're very probably good at weaving those questions in, but like if the recruiter is not naturally bringing up those moments for you to shine and say why you want to work there so bad, right? If they're not setting you up to open up and mention those, like what advice do you have? And you probably work with some of your clients at MK Career Coaching about this, but like, how can you make sure you get that in there if it's not necessarily being asked in a direct way?
Yeah, well, you can always mention it at the start of your answer, right? And say, you know, as someone who's so excited to work here for XYZ reason, here's what I want you to know about me. And structure your answer for them. I think the more structured your answers can be, I, you know, always love the power of three, right? If you have three reasons, I think that's really powerful and can help structure an answer well. But beyond that, you know, don't be afraid to kind of check in with the interviewer, with the recruiter throughout your call and say, you know, I'm going to give you a kind of a high level answer. Is this what you were looking for? Would you like me to go into more detail? Because I think the one thing where I see a lot of people go wrong in interviews, especially in the recruiter interview, is that they ramble, they go on for a very long amount, you know, long amount of time, when in reality, your answers should be, you know, a couple minutes. And then the recruiter is prepared to ask you follow-up questions. And they're almost waiting for that opening to ask you those follow-up questions. So if you can pause, check in with them, I think it's really going to help build the rapport. And then at the end, when they ask if you have any questions, you can ask your questions. And then you can also say, I just wanted to reiterate, I'm so excited about this position for these reasons. You know, I would love this opportunity. If you have any more questions for me, don't be afraid to let me know. You can always reach out. Just keep those lines of communication open, but also let them know you're interested. I wouldn't, you know, play it cool or anything like that, mm-hmm. because it doesn't really tend to help in interviews. Of course, I think of any balanced search, you want to have other options, other places you're interviewing to give yourself, you know, peace of mind that you've really seen other options in the market as well. But don't be afraid to really tell them you're interested and you're excited if you are.
Yes, I love that. It's all about passion, and something I've noticed, especially as I've started this podcast and in many other roles where I've had to record myself, but just trying to make sure that like you're changing your voice to sound passionate. And mm-hmm. especially during Zoom, I'm sure it's hard to convey that passion sometimes with the camera and it being remote. So that's just advice to listeners out there to use your voice, intonation, and pauses to show that excitement, which brings me to ask you else, like, make somebody stand out in the recruiter call, because you might have the exact same or similar qualifications as others applying. So how can you have that magic moment with a recruiter and really be one of the top candidates that get passed on?
Yeah. So I will say your point about intonation and pausing, or just taking your time, pausing, right? Sounding excited, it really does make a difference. It sounds small, but I want to know that someone is coming to this interview engaged and serious about it. I would say other things that can really help you stand out as a candidate would be to, again, structure your answers as much as possible. I know I mentioned, you know, the power of three, having three bullet points, but also the STAR method of interviewing is one that, you know, a lot of recruiters are trained on. So we're trained to really look for the situation, the task, the action, the results, and it doesn't need to be that long, right? But to, just to hear that you've thought about how to structure that answer is something we look for, because we're always going to be following up with, okay, what did you learn from that experience? Or what was the end result of that? That is a very common follow-up. So to know that you've done that legwork ahead of time and that you've prepped that for us is really great, along with questions that are very thoughtful and that are un-Googleable. So things about, you know, where the company is headed, maybe the vision or the structure of the team, something that you couldn't necessarily find online. I always like to hear questions like that, that shows they're really thinking about, you know, their future at the company, how they could be adding value, contributing, but also they just want, you know, to learn more about the company culture as well, and things that they can't necessarily find from a quick Google search.
Yes, that is so vital. And that's really a moment to shine and show also your strategy, your thinking process, and showing like who you are as a person. And those are things that you're curious about. So I like that tip a lot. And the STAR method actually is something I talked about in another episode. And since I have you here on the line, an expert, like, which of the stages in STAR, situation, task, action, result, do recruiters most pay attention to? Is it more like the actions you took in that situation, or is it the result and the impact, or are they all equally important?
I would say they're all equally important for a number of reasons, right? We want to know what the context was, what the situation was, to know really what you were trying to accomplish. The task was as the specific thing you were tasked with doing, but also we're looking for how do you collaborate with team members, with cross-functional partners within the business? How do you problem solve? How do you think through a problem that might not have an initially obvious answer? Maybe there was a mistake, something you wish you did differently. How did you go back and change it for the future? Results are always important, but I wouldn't say they're necessarily the most important. Every portion of the answer tells us something different about you.
Interesting. Yes, such a good point. Thanks for clarifying that for listeners. So my last question, and then we're almost at time, and then I want to leave you with a chance to leave a final tip of your choice, something that's not obvious. But my last question before that is, let's say a candidate really impressed you, Marjorie, and then the next step is that they will be speaking to the hiring manager. What should this candidate be doing between now and then? Obviously not just chilling and watching Netflix and hanging out, because this is still a chance to really prepare or possibly really take stuff from your conversation with them and apply it. So I want to hear from your mindset, like, what is the best thing candidate can do after a call with you before that next call?
So the best thing a candidate can do, I think, before that hiring manager call is an immense amount of research. I would say research everything you can about the company, look up the hiring manager's profile on LinkedIn, look up their teammates on LinkedIn, right? Their team members, to understand what, you know, qualifications, what skills they had before coming to the company. It's just, I think, good to know, right? Like, who's on their team? I would prepare some really thoughtful questions. Of course, you've already done this in the recruiter screen, but think about what a hiring manager would have visibility into that a recruiter might not. So things like where the team is headed for the year, what they want to accomplish for the year, the main challenges they have, things that, again, un-Googleable, but that would be coming from a hiring manager's perspective. Other than that, I think the preparation is pretty similar. You want to prep your STAR interview answers for several different types of questions you think they might ask. But the hiring manager interview is way more functional. So that's all about, can you do this job? What have you done in the past that is similar? How have you dealt with situations that might pop up in this job in the past? So those are the types of things that they'll most likely be asking you about.
Wow, super, super informational. Thank you so much. And I love leaving listeners with like a really cool insider tip from a special guest. So sorry to put you on the spot, but is there any other last tip? It could be anything about the preparation process or from the actually being in the interview itself. But what's like one tip that's underrated or people don't know about?
Ooh, so my last tip would be, don't be afraid to be vulnerable in your interviews. And I see people really shying away from this as a recruiter. They, of course, want to show their accomplishments, all the things that have gone right in their career, but don't be afraid to maybe give an example where something didn't go as expected, something went wrong, you made a mistake, because what I'm looking for is understanding how you learned from it and how you think about it. It's not necessarily what happened. We all make mistakes in our career. I think it's important to be able to talk about, but how do you discuss that with a future manager and have them know other parts of you and how you react when things might not go your way? So don't be afraid to be vulnerable in interviews. I've seen it be really powerful for my clients and for candidates. And I think just we're all human at the end of the day. And it's nice to be able to acknowledge that even in interviews.
Yeah, such an inspiring tip there. Vulnerability is your superpower. I know you've said that in an article I read too. So I love that so much, especially with, you know, leaders and authors like Brené Brown. You know, she says so much about connection, and human connection is about vulnerability and letting people see who you are. At the end of the day, people don't want to work with a robot, right? They want to work with a real person who's genuine, who's authentic, and vulnerability is a good way to show that. So I'm so happy that you brought that up. It's been so nice having you. I want to be mindful of your time. And I want to just let the listeners out there know that you can follow Marjorie on LinkedIn, and you can stay up to date with all the amazing services she has at MK Career Coaching. She'd be happy to work with any of you guys further. She has so much great articles out there. So I'm sure if you want to have more of her tips, you can read some of the awesome content she's put out there. So thank you, Marjorie.
Thank you so much for having me.
I also wanted to briefly mention a big thank you to FeedSpot, who recently mentioned me in their article for the top 10 best job interviewing podcasts. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.